Palmetto Mornings on WRHI.
Baby, hey, I just met you, and this is crazy, but here's my number, so call me maybe. It's hard to look right at you, baby, but here's my number, so call me maybe. Hey, I just met you, and this is crazy.
8:11 here on this Tuesday edition of Palmetto Mornings, 51 degrees. I'm Lucas McFadden.
I'm Alex Greenewald.
We always love to welcome in our listeners who are listening on the free WRHI app and those who are listening to us on the original AM 1340.
And how about those watching us on Comporium Cable Channel 103 and Facebook Live? Good morning.
We're catching up with the folks from the city of Tiga K. Gretchen Kaler joins us here. Good morning to you, Gretchen.
Good morning.
Have no idea what we're going to talk about because Tiga K has made no headlines.
No.
Quiet.
As of late, of course, a little humor there because Bambi has taken over the city of Tiga K, and you all just released your deer management program or report for your first kind of phase one of culling of the deer. And I know this is a very detailed report. Mm-hmm. You can read it all in detail on your website.
But I'm looking at it now. It is very detailed.
Give us the Cliff Notes version. What did that first phase one of the culling of the deer there in Tiga K look like?
So phase one kind of took place the end of January and the beginning of February. We had two operations of the culling in the city that happened on the golf course. So you can find more information about that in the after action reports. The total number of deer that were culled was 36. And while some people might hear that and compare that to the 160 that was our original goal and say, you know, wow, that's a low number and the cost is still pretty high, you know, public safety was our first priority. And so in that, we had no loss of life, no property damage, things along those lines. So even though the number is, quote, low, it was still a successful operation by everybody involved.
So you could call up to, what, 160 deer? Mm-hmm. But that was based on an estimate, right?
So originally the city applied through DNR for like 300, and DNR said, no, you get 80. And so then we took it and appealed it to the state level to do 160 because of the such a large number of deer that we have in our city. That was based off an estimate that we have from previous reports and the counts that were done.
Well, I'm glad you didn't mention the 36 because when I did see the version of it, I'm like, wow, that's really lower than expectations. And why? How do people need to interpret that number in the timeline you all were operating on?
So both the deputy city manager and Chief Crosby go into more detail on our YouTube account when they talk about the reports. But just an overview, you know, we were working on a tight timeline. The permit expires March 1st for the culling. So we were, you know, after the holidays and stuff, we really started the end of January to, you know, we really only had 2 weeks to do it. That the safety protocol is in place, you know, all of that stuff, USDA personnel coming in, you know, there was a lot of, you know, pieces of this operation. So working on a tight timeline and still making a first step in the wildlife management plan and, you know, taking that first step of action, it is still successful. And now council gets to digest all the information from phase one and move forward in making their next decision.
What's so interesting, if you're looking at the wildlife management plan, I'm having a good time with this. It literally breaks down on that day how many hours, how many officers worked. And it's tough. It looks like these guys had some rough days where they maybe got lucky with, you know, calling three deers. On January 23rd, 13 officers put 6 hours in and culled over 10 female adult deers. Like, it's just baffling to see on any given day. You don't know what you're going to get. So I can imagine it's not as easy as you think just to go out there and call. You got to find them. They're running away. These guys are experts, but it's still not easy.
Right. And they talked about, you know, when you think about calling on the golf course, you think about a full 180-degree visual. But realistically, they had maybe 25 degrees. So you can have deer on the left side and you can have deer on the right side. But you can't shoot those deer because they're not in your field of, you know, opportunity.
Well, that's a good observation to present because I thought it was you could if you saw one, you shot one.
Yeah, nope.
So it was within a certain parameter along those lines. And then will since you didn't get your total, will you get a rebate back or what happens to that funding during in that section?
So we had allocated $94,000 mm-hmm. for both of the processes, and I believe that we're still waiting on a couple final numbers from USDA to come in for their personnel, but it's like approximately $40,000 that we spent. And we've seen a lot of talk of like cost per deer, and you kind of can't break it down because it's not like you're administering like birth control or anything where you can see that cost per deer. So a lot of that cost went into the public safety personnel, you know, having PD there, York County Sheriff's Office, that kind of stuff.
And so you all, the next question with this was what to do with this deer meat, and then take us to that part of the story.
So we, once USDA picks up any of the deer that were culled in the processes, they then take them to a processing center, and then from that processing center, the meat was donated to the Catawba Indian Nation. So originally, when we said we were going to cull deer, you know, we had residents calling in, we had people from the public calling in, and Catawba Indian Nation called in and said that they were interested, and that decision was made by USDA to donate 1,200 pounds of deer to the Catawba Indian Nation.
That's awesome.
Well, they were very appreciative of it and actually spoke at your last council meeting mm-hmm. saying it's the meat of their culture.
Absolutely.
And so it was great to have some of that return to their culture there, which was, you know, another way of looking at this process, because I know this process, my gosh, everyone and their brother weighed in mm-hmm. on it for sure. So what happens now? So we mentioned and said this is phase one. Do you all continue to dive into this report and see if you'll continue it throughout the next year, or where do we go from here now?
So we had a presentation made to council last week from Dr. Dina Cola, who's from the White Buffalo area. And he went through every option available on the table. And he mentioned in his presentation, which is on our YouTube as well, he's like, I'm not here to sell you a product. He goes, I'm here to tell you what works and what's not going to work. So his recommendation that he made to council was some kind of combination of a lethal versus non-lethal. But it's ultimately up to the council decide to give the city direction on what to do moving forward. So they have a lot of information to digest from not only the after action report, but from almost the 2.5-hour presentation from Dr. Dina Cola. So moving forward, you know, they're obviously interested in what our residents have to say and what they think is going to be best. So, you know, always reach out to your council members, or, you know, we've got presentations and information on our deer management page on our website. So everybody's available to be in this conversation, but ultimately, you know, council's got to decide what's next. If we make a next process, if we don't make a next process, or if we do birth control, or if we do sterilization or a combination or whatever. So we've got a little bit of time, but I know that those conversations are still going to, those are happening soon.
Well, Gretchen, I was sharing earlier off air, we're seeing this headline hit national, and every community at this point is facing the same thing, and everyone's looking at each other's playbooks. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you guys have your playbook online sharing, hey, here's how we did it, here's what worked, it might be a model for another community. So kudos to you all.
Mm-hmm. Speaking with Gretchen from the city of TKK, Gretchen, will wrap up with this. You all are hiring in the city of TKK. What jobs are up for grabs? And I mean, you work there, but what's the benefit of working there, you think?
It's a great small town community to work in. You know, it's with the exception of deer, like, and like we've had a lot of staff members mention, if deer is our biggest problem, yeah, we have a great community.
Yes.
So, you know, it's a great place to work. Small teams. Everybody gets along well. We've got some opportunities in our utilities department. I believe one in Parks and Rec and one in Public Works. So come join us. You know, we've got a lot. I've learned a lot over the last year in my position alone. So it's a great place to work.
Well, you look at these jobs that are up for grabs are ones that provide a quality of life that mm-hmm. will bring people here. So if you like the quality of life, you have an opportunity to work in a profession that it sounds like you can continue to do that and maybe bring new ideas to the table, which mm-hmm. is interesting. And they can apply by just going to your Facebook page or your website.
Mm-hmm. Yep, website.
I'm looking on it right now with the human resources
yep.
Page. Boy, today's theme is all about hiring. We had the folks from the York School District. Yeah. They're also recruiting teachers right now as well. So there are jobs that are up for grabs. If you're looking for a career change, you can look at the York School District or the city of TKK. Please do check out this deer management report. To Alex's point, it is very detailed. If you've got questions and you live in TKK, read the report first. Don't rely on a neighbor to tell you what is in there, because sometimes a telephone game doesn't work the way we hope that it would work. And then reach out to your council member, right? Or attend the council meetings.
Even reach out to city staff. You know, we're always here to answer questions. And that's a big push that I'm trying to encourage people. I think they kind of forget, but, you know, you're not limited in your resources. Reach out on Facebook. Get a hold of me. Call us at City Hall. We'll get you where we need to get you for your questions to be answered.
And as many times as we've done this story, again, it wasn't until this morning that I realized, again, you had a certain spot to kill the deer. So the deer might have been to the right and to the left, but if it wasn't in that sweet spot, you couldn't do it. So that would have been one that, again, I would have looked at the numbers and been like, boy, that's low. By talking to someone on city staff, I would have realized like, oh, okay, well then it does make sense, I guess, because you're just not out there spraying bullets left and right, which which was part of the PR message just put across that I know that's what people thought was going to happen. And then once we realized the plan in more detail, it made sense. But take it. Take a look. Read it. Alex is not from TKK, and she's still reading the report.
It's really
exciting.
You know,
we're doing a live interview this morning.
Like, oh, these officers killed this one. It's really interesting.
It is interesting. So just take a look and be more knowledgeable. Gretchen Kaler is with the city of TKK. Gretchen, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you.